Appreciated that song.
Yes.
Brought tears to my eyes because I mean to go through.
Yes.
And I mean to go on. I know it's a little bit late for the hour, but I wonder if we could sing that last verse again. There's a phrase in there I want us to get a hold of. It reminds me of another phrase in our book. One glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay, or something like that. You know, when we get there, it'll take only one glimpse, and all of this will be nothing. Nothing. So in that other last verse, let's sing that one more time, if you will.
I will cling to my Savior and press toward the prize, for I'm on to the yonder where all things are new.
Praise the Lord.
One moment
of glory. It'll all repay. Praise God.
This morning for prayer for the message and for my physical body. It seems like each Sunday I get sick sitting over there before I get up here, but I want to testify that he's done it again.
Thank the Lord.
He's helping me.
Thank the Lord.
Every time.
Yes.
Not one time in the years I have been in the ministry, and there's been a number of times I've been sitting right there and be sick, take the pulpit and it's gone. He did it every time, so I want to thank him for it again. And I do need your prayers for the word. I want the word to be blessed and anointed by his Spirit. If it is not, we've said it before, it is but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So I covet the Spirit of the Lord taking his word and making it alive to us today. I wrote down here what I'm looking for. I'm looking to the Lord to grant the mind of the Spirit with continuing thoughts of last Sunday. I've been cautioned somewhat about trying to lay the foundations and remind what the last Sunday's message was. I'm not going to this time. I believe if you want to know what the message was last Sunday, you'll listen to it. So I believe the Lord wants us just to pick it up and go forward. I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning, for there were things that were said that are on my heart for this morning. I want us to consider, We could be here all day if we considered all of the characteristics and the very nature of God. But there are two points of his characteristics and his nature that we need to never forget. We might let some of the other characteristics sort of slip. But this is two that we must never lose. We must remember what God is and what he is not. Now, that's not what I'm going to be talking about. I'm just inserting that because there's some things said in Sunday school that God likes certain things and he doesn't like other things. We need to know what that is. But the characteristics, those attributes of God and his very nature, and he has chosen to reveal himself through the Word of God.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Now, he not only reveals it through his Word, but he confirms it through his Spirit and through his work in us. And the way that the Spirit will deal with us, it's all confirmed. The Word is eternally set, and the Spirit confirms it. So, I must say this. If you could see my notes this morning, I've sort of crossed out some things to save a little time. Do you know what? I believe the Spirit of the Lord can go home with you and can open up certain things in your mind that maybe we don't have time to get into. But this one I'm going to give. God is and forever will be unchanging. Now, that's something we need to not forget, too, but that's not what I'm going to be talking about. God is just, and he is no respecter of persons. Now, we need to remember that, too. But I want to start out with the first and foremost characteristic of God. What do you think it is? It's the love of God. God is love. That's just who he is. That's what he is. He will be that way till for all time and eternity. God is the very essence of love. And the love of God, it abounds in his goodness, infinite goodness. And in his mercy. Oh, it's almost like I'm adding more to the things for you to not forget. I'm still not to where I want us to remember. I want to insert this, that God's love is the highest form of love. Oh, you and I might think we have love, but oh, we are so fickle. We are so changeable. We are changeable. And we, man is, I mean, when I said that that God was no respecter of persons, we are. We can be prejudiced. So we don't want to really compare the love of God to human love. There's no real comparison. But yet God is wanting to put his love in us.
Yes.
So that's something I want us to remember. I want us to remember the love of God. And the scriptures tell us that God's love is unconditional. Is God's love unconditional? Could you answer it?
Yes.
God's love is unconditional because it does not change and it's offered to all of mankind. But there are conditions to his love. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There are. It's in his word. He has his commandments. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's conditional. For me to taste the love of God, and in one place he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have a part to play in that. We're not robots. We're not just, it's not just poured out on us and now you have it, and you've got a work to do. You have to seek after him. You have to love him. If he loves you, doesn't he desire love back? And his word even says he wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. A little child quoted that this morning. And then he goes a little bit farther and he said in that same verse, and that is the, what is it called? The golden rule? Love your neighbor as yourself. How much do you love yourself? How much do I love myself? It's true. I have counseled that you pray more for yourself. And you pray first for yourself before you pray for others. Why do we say that? If your heart isn't clear with God, how can he hear you if you pray for others? So you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, here I am. Here is my soul. Help me and clear me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness so you will hear my prayer.
Yes.
When I pray for others. Who's going to answer for your soul at the judgment? Your parents? Your companions? No. You will answer for your soul, for yourself. Don't forget that too. That's still something we need to remember. So, you know, God loved you and me when we were unlovable. So he does have some conditions. So let's go now to I debate how to bring this forth. So I need the Spirit of the Lord. But I'm going to jump down and I'm going to give you, I'm just going to tell it to you, something that Jesus spoke, and it should awaken in us the great, wonderful blessing of God's forgiveness of our sins. How mindful he is of mankind, all mankind. Doesn't matter who they are, where they live, around the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should do what? Come to repentance. That's his desire. And what is repentance? It's me saying, Lord, forgive me. Godly repentance worketh something in me. And he turns around then, and what does he do? He forgives us. And he... the scripture says in one place, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. Oh, we could just give scripture after scripture. What else does it say he will do? He will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember them no more. I think I will insert here just a little bit from last Sunday. because we tried to give that wonderful and gracious and most blessed plan for God to be a forgiving God. Remember that when he said he will not remember our sins no more, but we will, it'll come back to our mind.
Yes.
The enemy will want to torment our mind of maybe what we have done. And in the little message last Sunday, we not only talked about God's gracious forgiveness, but we spoke about you and me forgiving others who trespass against us. And then we went to the other side of the fence, because it was like there were two sides here. And Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. And woe unto that one that causes offenses. And then I can cause an offense. There might be somebody else that has offended me, but I can offend somebody else. So I'm on that other side of the fence, and what do I do with it? The enemy, I said last Sunday, he wants to beat us up. And sometimes we will kick ourselves. We'll say, why did I do that? And you deserve to be kicked. No. God doesn't want us to kick ourselves, and he's not wanting to beat us up. He's wanting us to forgive ourselves that we have offended somebody else. And then we spoke about forgiving God. And you might say, well, how can I forgive God? Well, there's a lot of people that have foolishly charged God with what has come into their lives and blame God. And why did he let that happen to me? And then we have to understand that God is good and righteous in all things and does not make a mistake. And what he has allowed to come into our life, though it be very hard and painful, and it can even create what might be a wound in my heart. And yet, I cannot charge God foolishly. And so I forgive God. It's all under the plan of forgiveness. So Jesus spoke about a certain servant. And the king, it says, took account of all of his what was owed him. And he saw that this one servant owed him 10,000 talents. And so he called him up and brought him before him, and he said, it's time for you to pay up your debt. And the man didn't have any money. And he could not pay his debt. And so it was said, well, you can be sold, and your family can be sold, and you can, we'll take that money and put it on your debt. Now, did you know you had a debt you could not pay? What do you think 10,000 talents is worth? I looked it up. There's various amounts according to, what the equations are, but it said in the American dollar it was worth over, let me look here, I wrote it down here, it is worth $10 million. So how in the world this man got in such a debt, I do not know, but there's no, could you pay a $10 million debt? This is a picture of God's love to you and me. Because he went on, and this servant got down and humbled himself, and in my mind, he probably was weeping and begging, oh, please spare me and my family. And the Lord had such compassion. Now, you want to talk about some of his attributes and his characteristics. Compassion is one of them, too. But the Lord of this man, he had compassion. And he said, I'll forgive it all. You don't even have to pay me any of it. You're free. Don't you know that that's how the Lord has done you and me? It's a prime picture of the forgiveness. The very nature of God is love and forgiveness. And that's the two things I want you to never forget. Because there's conditions for both. And so the man was set free, and I can just imagine how he might have felt. Don't you think he probably felt like he had a new lease on life? Have you ever thought, now this is sort of a comparison here, you thought you had something terminal, you had something that was a sickness, and it would probably take your life, and maybe you go and find out what it was, and it wasn't. Did you feel like you had a new lease on life? I remember one time, it was actually when Sarah was born, and after she was born, my throat broke out in sores all down in my throat, and I thought I had cancer, and so I went back to the doctor where she was delivered, and the doctor said, oh, you just have an allergy. And I wouldn't believe it, and I went to another one, and they said the same thing. And you know, I just felt like I had a new lease on life. Oh, I'm not dying right now. And so that's how it is. When God comes and you bring all of your sins that you cannot forgive yourself, you cannot save yourself, and he's the only one that can forgive you, and he's the only one that can redeem you, he's the only one that can make you a child of the King. And he says, I'll wipe it away, I'll forgive, I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember it no more. And how do you feel? How did Pilgrim, in Pilgrim's Progress, how did he feel? When he was released of that burden on his back and that thing went down into the abyss and he no more had it, but you know, he almost felt like he still had it. And maybe you and I might feel, oh, but how can he forgive such sins as I have committed? He can. He can save to the uttermost. And if you are saved today, you are saved to the uttermost. It's his will. It's his will. So this is a picture of God's forgiveness of you and me, and he forgave this servant, he canceled his debt, and he set him free. But what happened? What happened to this man? I can imagine that maybe for a day or so, he was so happy and rejoicing, and then all of a sudden he thought, my fellow servant owes me some money. And so he went to him, and the scripture says he took him by his throat. Now, it didn't say that the Lord of the kingdom took that man by his throat, but this man did. He's having a very strong reaction because somebody else owes him something. And so he says, I want you to pay me today. And the man says, I don't have it. I cannot pay it today. Guess how much he owed him? 100 pence. And in dollars, it was worth $1.28. Now, there's a lesson in this that started with the message last Sunday. It has to do with your relationships, not only with your family, but with other people. You know what he did to this man? He took him and had him cast into the prison. Now we're going to get to see what God's opinion and how he looks at unforgiveness. So his other servants, all the other servants were very sad. And they went to the Lord of the kingdom and told him what had happened. The one that had forgiven freely and set him free. And so, you know what happened? The price. I wrote down here, the price was a high price for the unmerciful acts. And the Lord is very merciful to you and me. And he says, be ye merciful, even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful. And so we've got to practice mercy in our relationships with one another, in our relationships in our family. I want to tell you, there are families that are broken to the point that they will not even speak to each other. They go for years. There's offenses. And remember, I said already, Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. And that's for all of time. It's in your life. It's in my life. It's in this age. You're going to meet times that somebody is going to hurt you.
Yes.
And you're going to meet times that you're going to be wounded to the core.
Yes.
And there's going to be times, and people have said it, I cannot forgive such and such. We told about one case last Sunday. God is saying, look how much I have forgiven you. Look how much I put under the blood, and I am not remembering it anymore. And you're not willing to forgive $1.28? When you had a $10 million debt. So what happened is that man had to pay it all. He couldn't pay it. We would have to say that he was cast out. So I'm going to just give some other little accounts in the Word. Last Sunday we told more life experiences and stories. But now we're going to just look into the Word, and this one is going to be the story of Joseph, and we're not going to tell the whole story of Joseph, but we're wanting to look at the end. The end of the story, because we all know the story of Joseph, how he was treated so cruelly by his brothers, and they were jealous of him, and they had envy, and can I insert here that jealousy and envy is cruel? And we need to be reminded of that.
Yes.
And we need to guard our own hearts that we do not have jealousy or envy of others. You will suffer. The word of the Lord says, wrath is cruel. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? And then Saul... I think I put down the wrong book. I'll quote it anyway. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, and the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. So the person that is consumed with jealousy suffers from it. But the one that is jealous of suffers also.
Yes.
It's cruel. And so we know how that Joseph bore the cruelty of his brothers But the scripture said that Joseph was a goodly person and well favored of God. But the end of the story. Oh, I have to read it. It's one of my favorites. So I'm looking at Genesis 45. I'm going to read parts of verses 3 through 5, 7, 8, 14, and 15. And Joseph, now, his brethren is there. He's recognized them. He's put them through the test. He wanted to know if they had changed, and they proved that they had changed. And his brothers, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. And his brethren could not answer him. Verse 4, and he said unto them, come near to me. And they came near, but they were, I'm going to say, shocked. They were in a state of shock. I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Number 5. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Do you see forgiveness?
Yes.
What a beautiful account of a man that suffered grief and sorrow and separation from his family. And now he's meeting with his brethren. He says, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve you. I wonder how they were feeling at that moment. To save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. It was not you that sent me hither, but God. Oh, that's just such a precious statement. A precious attitude. When we're wounded and hurt, can we say, God allowed it? Or, you hurt me. If we are God's servant, if we have this attitude that Joseph had, it wasn't you that did it to me. It was God that sent me here. Oh, let us have that attitude.
Yes, Lord.
Let us feel that kind of forgiveness,
yes,
to those that offend us. And let us have that kind of love. Listen what else. Verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And 15. And he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them.
Yes.
There was no bitterness.
Amen.
There was no unforgiveness. Oh, but it melted them.
Yes.
When you and I, listen, we are the ones, you and I are the ones that benefit the most when we forgive.
Amen.
Oh, that one that we forgive, they benefit also. But you and I benefit the most. Praise God. Oh, I count that a precious story of forgiveness.
Yes.
And then there's another account. And this one, we don't have time to go into all the details either. But it's about sowing and reaping and then forgiveness. And this is an account of Esau and Jacob, twin brothers. And they... each of them were favored by a parent. That's wrong. If you're a parent today, don't have favorites. I heard of a situation, a woman had three children. Just heard this week. It was sad. She had a favorite child among those three. The middle son. The oldest was a daughter, and the youngest is also a son. And they both have turned out in pitiful situations. But the son that was favored seems like has been the only successful one. But it doesn't always work that way.
True.
Don't show favoritism. Love them all the same. Love your children all the same. They may not be lovable all the time, but love them anyway. So in this particular case, we know that Esau did not value his birthright, and he sold it for a mess of pottage. And then Jacob, he deceived his father, and he received the blessing instead of his rightful. It was ordered of God. It's hard for us to maybe understand all this, but this is how it happened. And so Esau hated his brother because he supplanted him twice, and he planned to slay his brother, and Jacob ran for his life. But when he ran to his mother's family, he had to do some reaping. Let's not forget that what we sow, we will reap. It's the law of God. It's just like the law of nature. You sow a seed, it's going to produce that in abundance. It won't be one kernel of corn. It will be many kernels of corn from one. And so when you and I sow whatever we sow in life, expect a reaping. And so that happened to Jacob. And so now Jacob is on his way back to his homeland, and he met God in the way, and he wrestled with him. And this was brought out in the Sunday school lesson this morning. That's why it's so precious to me. What did he wrestle for? He said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. I'm headed back to my home, and I've got to have something more than what I've ever had before. And I want to tell you, when you pray and you're in trouble, you go before the Lord and you say words like that, Lord, I've got to have more than what I've ever had in the past. And he has it.
Yes, thank the Lord.
He has it. And so we know the account. Oh, I love that story also. It's just it just speaks to me. It ministers to me that Jacob didn't turn loose until he received a blessing. And what happened? He changed. He was changed.
Yes.
And he had a different name. And he lived up to that name.
Amen.
He lived up to his former name, didn't he? But when his name was changed, he lived up to that name. And so he walked away, and he did not walk in the same way. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. And he never forgot that place that he was in. And so here he is. He heard that his brother is coming to meet him. So now I'm going to read a portion of verses. Genesis 33. Verses 1, 3, 4, 8, 9, and 10. Jacob lifted up his eyes, and I count this a beautiful story also. And behold, Esau came. Verse 3. And Jacob bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. Does that show something?
Yes, it does.
He was no longer Jacob. He was a changed man. He was now a prince. And he had humility. And he wanted forgiveness from his brother, but he wanted to also be a different man to his brother. And so he bowed himself 7 times. And verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him. Isn't this beautiful?
Yes, it is.
I mean, before he was going to kill him, and now he ran to meet his brother, and he embraced him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept. Isn't it beautiful? Forgiveness, isn't it beautiful? Verse 8, and Esau said, what meanest? All of this drove or animals. And Jacob said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. He called his brother my Lord. Is that humility? Yes. And verse 9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. In verse 10, and Jacob said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, if I have found forgiveness. Remember we said it was two sides of the fence. The one that receives an offense, the one that causes the offense. Jacob had caused the offense. And he's asking forgiveness. And if I now have found grace in thy sight, receive my present, for I have seen thy face. As though I have seen the face of God, I've seen my brother again. And thou wast pleased with me. Isn't that precious? Oh, I think it's another beautiful account of forgiveness. I just want to refer a little bit now to Job. I hope that you can take some of this with you today. And don't, we can, I'm telling you, we can have unforgiveness and ride over it until we forget it. Ask God to search us and try us. And see if there is any unforgiveness in our heart, because the word of the Lord says, if you do not forgive, I cannot forgive you. That's the condition. It's conditional, and he won't ride over it. He won't excuse it for anyone. Lord, help us. Let's turn to the very last chapter of Job and skip some of the other things that I was going to say, because that's what's really important. What was the end of Job? Oh, it's a wonderful story too. Because God became his defense and defender. God was his defender in the beginning, and he became his defender in the end. So I'm just going to read verses 1 to 3, 5 and 7, 8, 10 and 12, just parts of those. Job answered the Lord and he said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Verse 3, I uttered that I understood not. Things were too wonderful for me, for I knew not. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And verse 7, and it says, and the Lord has spoken these words unto Job, and the Lord said unto his three miserable comforters. And that's a whole nother message. But he spoke to them, and you know what he said? God said, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have spoken of me. Ye have not spoken of me the things that are right as my servant Job. And then skip down to verse 8. My servant Job shall pray for you, and him I will accept. You know what? Sometimes we need prayer from somebody that can pray. Job could pray. God would hear. And you know those men did that? And Job prayed for them. And it goes on down and it says, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Is there a lesson in this for us? If we pray for those that offend us, the Lord can deliver them and us. Praise God. And it also said that the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And you skip down to verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Forgiveness. Forgiving those who trespass against us. Now, I'm going to end with one of the stories I gave last week, because it's a current day story. our daughter Jen. She was killed when she was 15. Most of you know that. But she was deeply wounded by a family member. And it affected all of us. It really separated our families. And may I insert here that it was out of jealousy. Jealousy is cruel. It can do bad things. So I had many things I could have told about Jan. That she wanted to live for the Lord from a child and choices that she made. I could have told all of that. We went to Four Corners on Labor Day weekend that year, 1980, and Aunt Margaret preached on forgiveness. We left the chapel, and we were not two blocks away from the chapel, and Jan said, "Mother, I'm going to forgive so-and-so. And I'm going to do everything I can for our families to be together again." And she was in eternity in 3 weeks. Doesn't matter if you're young and, you know, you can go out and meet the Lord when you're young. God was so faithful to Jan because that would have been the one thing that would have kept her out of heaven. So we want you to not forget the great love of God to you and me to forgive us.
Yes, amen.
And to remember it no more. But we want you to also remember that God cannot and will not forgive us if we do not forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen.
I praise God that I can tell you the story of Jan. Pray for me.